Andrew, great to have you in the studio. How are you?
Good, Michael. Good morning.
It's been a busy couple of weeks for you, hasn't it? Because the TATS-TAB merger, we know Racing.com was opposing it. We know that Racing Victoria was opposing it. And at the end of the day, it's fallen Sky's way. And a number of the restrictions that you were asking to be imposed didn't occur. From your point of view, Racing.com's point of view, how much of a blow is that?
Well, I think in the first instance, it's important to remember that we weren't seeking to block the merger. We actually were, our strategy was that if the merger was to be approved, that we sought conditions to be applied to Sky Channel. And they would be conditions that we thought would enable racing authorities in the future to run a fair process for their media rights and also provide opportunities where other broadcasters like us could have a fair swing at trying to win some of the rights. So, our firm belief was, from a racing rights holder's perspective, that if you can have fair competition for your rights, that's your best chance to get more money for your rights. And if you have fair competition for your rights, you can also possibly achieve the broad distribution model the Victorians have achieved with free-to-air and streaming and other outcomes. So, you know, we had a belief that if the conditions were put in place around the merger, that there would be a more open, more competitive market for media rights going forward. We thought that racing authorities would benefit from that. Clearly, Racing.com would benefit from that. But ultimately, that we were unsuccessful. But, you know, we just got to play on now, accept the umpire's decision and play on.
Well, that's exactly what you have to do. And, look, there are exciting times ahead for Racing.com because you've secured the rights for South Australia moving forward. So I suppose what makes things difficult is the acquisition of further rights moving forward. But they would be a fair way down the track, wouldn't they?
Yeah, so we have Victorian and South Australian rights to 2024. Mm-hmm. So that's a good period of 7 years. We're looking to extend Hong Kong. So if you add up Victoria, Hong Kong, South Australia, that might be around about 900 meets. And completely put it out there, we want more thoroughbred racing on our channel. It's good for our channel, and we also think it's good for racing to have more of the product distributed on free-to-air. When it comes to domestic rights, there are small amounts of free-to-air days available. The next big rights group I think that's available is Queensland, around about 2020. There are international rights that are available, such as Ascot each year, etc. Now, we will try and get as, obviously we'll go hard for Queensland if the bidding model that's available we can compete in, or if we reasonably assess that the structure available for bidding for rights in Queensland means we're a chance of winning some rights, then we'll be looking hard at Queensland. And with respect to free-to-air days or the international races like Ascot, we would love to have more of that on our channel. One of the challenges we face is that Sky Channel has essentially a veto position over Foxtel, which essentially means that we can't retransmit all of our channel, our free-to-air channel, onto our Foxtel station. Now, that's a major restriction on us because it means we have to open up two studios and produce two channels. So one of the barriers we have to getting more races like Ascot or more free-to-air days is this Foxtel retransmission blockage. So if Sky are of a mind to remove that blockage, then we'll be able to secure more free-to-air days and bring Ascot, for example, or more of the Brisbane Dooman meets to free-to-air. We think that'll be very positive for us.
What's the relationship like with Sky? Is it one of competitors and, I suppose, not animosity, but I suppose you're up against each other, or is there a willingness between yourself and your counterparts at Sky to try and work together to try and get a bit more content which crosses over so that the viewer sitting at home is the overall winner?
Yeah, I think that's really important to realise. I mean, Sky are a client of ours and we are a client of Sky's. So, for example, you know, Victoria sub-licenses all of its rights to Sky One. When we won the South Australian rights, the first thing we did was get a sub-license done with Sky Channel for the Sky One wall-to-wall platform and for their digital assets, because we think it's very important that the wall-to-wall channel has all the racing on it. It's critically important for wagering. So, you know, we have to work well with Sky there, and that negotiation on South Australia was very quick. You know, it wasn't a drawn-out process, which was very positive. So, you know, we definitely need to continue to work well with Sky. And look, in the end, I would agree there should only be one premium thoroughbred channel. I mean, it doesn't make sense to have two channels. The only difference in our opinion is we believe it should be a free-to-air channel, and Sky, with Sky Thoroughbred Central, clearly believe it should be a pay TV channel. But in the end, in the interests of punters and thoroughbred fans, yeah, there should only be one channel.
Well, there's no hope of that happening, is there?
I hope so. I don't know if in my lifetime, I don't
know. Well, that's not good for people in your lifetime. It's going to be a fair while.
Look, we should get it done. I mean, I don't know how it comes together, but, you know, we're very lucky to have Channel 7 Spectrum and the support of Channel 7. It's very valuable. But the ability to take thoroughbred racing to 95% of households and to put it onto streaming, you know, freely available, it's a great opportunity for thoroughbred racing. So I just hope over time we can find a way that more of the other states are of a mind to find a way to support the free-to-air outcome and still always enshrine the wall-to-wall channel, which is critically important for pubs and clubs and for people who like to watch greyhounds, harness and thoroughbred at the same time. So I think they're very complementary products.
You mentioned Channel 7. I'll ask about what the future is going to look like, how you're going to present South Australia in a moment. But in regards to the partnership with Channel 7 and since this TAB merger with TATS has been given the green light, there was talk beforehand that maybe that would put Racing.com in jeopardy for its future. Is there any chance that there is any question mark moving forward about the sustainability of Racing.com?
Look, as I said before, the Victorian and South Australian rights are all licensed to 2024, and matched to that is the Spectrum, and the partnership that delivers the channel is locked away to 2024. Mm. Now, clearly we've got 7 years to build off that. You know, it's important to realise that the channel is only 18 months old to 2 years old. So it's still quite early days. Now, you know, if the competition tribunal thing had a fall the other way, we'd be a lot more confident about our capacity to win more rights. As it stands at the moment, we've got a lot more work ahead of us to win our rights. And also we've got to do a better job of informing, you know, racing administrators around the country on the benefits of the broad model. It shouldn't be that controversial.
Mm. Andrew Catterall, the CEO of Racing.com's in-studio special guest. Andrew, you mentioned South Australia comes on board the new racing season. A lot of people that are viewers of racing in this state, they are happy to see South Australian racing come on board. But I suppose the question mark is, how is it going to be presented? And the clock is the big question. Because punters don't want to see it impinge on Victorian racing and the broadcast of the Mountain Yard and post-race. How's Racing.com going to make that work?
Really good example, again, of why we need to have a good working relationship with Sky Channel, because they have, whilst Victoria and New South Wales put their times in, then the rest of the clock is organised by Sky Channel, essentially. So, have done a lot of work with Paul Bloodworth at RVL and Greg Carpenter, who I think have got very good working relationships with Sky and working with TRSA as well. I saw a model for the clock going forward that I was very happy with. It hasn't been enshrined yet, but clearly we are trying to find a way that it's beneficial for everybody, that there's a bit more space between where the South Australian meet sits relative to the Victorian and country meet. Very confident that we'll get something done there.
So what are we looking at, do you know, time-wise between...
Oh, I can't hypothesise on that here, but, you know, we'll wait and
hasn't
see
been decided as yet.
Gets finalised, yeah, but... You know, I think there's a bit of goodwill there to make that work. And look, we're very thankful for the opportunity from TRSA. It's a very bold decision. It's very good for our channel to have another 180 meets of quality racing. There's a lot of connection between Victorian and South Australian racing, jockeys, trainers, owners, horses. We're very hopeful that we can help grow South Australian racing, take it to a national audience and help grow their wagering. But also, it's importantly, from Victoria's perspective, I think it'll help grow Victorian wagering even more. Mm. I mean, we're up 17% on turnover since the start of Racing.com. It's a very positive result. When we brought the Queensland races in recently, the 5 days out of Eagle Farm, Doomben, we had very strong Saturdays, very strong turnover results, obviously as Queensland audience tuned into Racing.com. So there's mutual benefit here for both South Australia and Victoria. So, you know, hopefully we can get a new run sheet sorted out. We will still have our mounting yard coverage, our pre- and post-race interviews. We're going to have talent on the ground in South Australia. We'll announce shortly some very, you know, very good talent.
So you'll have the hostings from South Australia?
We'll have hostings and we'll have form. Now, we've got to continue to evolve the model about, you know, how Mondays, Tuesdays and Thursdays have to look fundamentally different to Wednesdays and Saturdays. Yeah, we've got an open mind about using a studio, you know, during the week as well. So hosting out of a studio where we can show a lot more of the speed maps and a lot more of relevant replays and bring form analysts in a lot better. So there'll be a mixture of on-course hosting and off-course hosting through the studio, but the intention is to make sure that the viewer at home is getting the best wagering experience, and we're giving a lot of profile to the races and to the participants.
I'll talk about your corporate partners in a moment, but has there been any issue with South Australian Racing with their consumption tax? And I know Sportsbet's now a new partner, and they've had some issues with South Australian Racing. Has that caused any issues?
No, not so far, but obviously there is a lot of uncertainty about the point of consumption tax across the wagering market. You know, I'm not here to pontificate about taxation structures or government decisions, but, you know, as the price goes up, the incentives change for the wagering operators. So I think that's a benefit. South Australia made a good decision. If they are to have to absorb the point of consumption tax, that actually having the broader distribution that we offer from racing.com, I think, is an important lever to try and offset the possible impacts, negative impacts of poorer pricing for the wagering operators.
You were previously at Racing Victoria, and you were involved then with the wagering and I suppose media rights as well. You mentioned that the turnover has gone through the roof since free-to-air, racing.com's come on board, yet we see the parimutuel continuing to drop and fixed price going up. Racing.com's partnership with the corporate partners, do you see that playing any role in that? And should Racing Victoria's number one broadcaster try and help the parimutuel a bit more? Or is it you're a commercial entity, you've got to look after your commercial agreements?
First of all, the parimutuel odds are always represented in our broadcast. We always offer to Tabcorp, would they like to partner with the channel?
Mm.
The reality is that Tabcorp reaches a lot of the same audience anyway through Sky. So, you know, it's less from a marketing perspective. You can understand a rationale where they wouldn't, you know, they might have other incentives to invest their money elsewhere. So that's perfectly
fine. So they've said they don't want to come onto
Racing.com. No, they're willing, they're happy to partner. Yep. But the other operators, obviously, because it's a new audience for them, can provide a stronger offer.
Yeah.
Now, you also got to, I think, acknowledge that, you know, there's a lot that goes into supporting the parimutuel. And that's a fundamental driver of revenue for the industry, you know. And over the last 4 or 5 years, Racing Victoria's grown turnover to over $6 billion. It's been an outstanding result. You know, and RVL gets a lot of kicking at the moment, you know, about a lot of political issues. But actually, at a commercial level, from how I look at it, they've done an outstanding job. Turnover going past $6 billion. They've put on $100 million of revenue in the last 4 to 5 years. Mm-hmm. Done a great job with night racing and the calendar. Artificial, you know, all-weather tracks. The carnival's very strong. Lots of international participation. Ownership growing very strongly. So I think there should be a lot of credit paid to RVL for that. Now, part of that acknowledgement in the mix is the non-tote operators are here to stay. You know, they're legal operators. They're paying significant product fees. They've been the main source of revenue growth for the industry over the last 4 or 5 years. So they're legitimate partners of the business. And they've been outstanding partners of racing.com. CrownBet, you know, outstanding partners from day one, you know, made a significant investment to help get the channel up. We're very thankful to CrownBet for that. And we're also very thankful that they were happy to work with us when I came in January to think that maybe we should change the channel up and have different partners in the channel. And the whole idea for that is to make it more innovation. Sportsbet will come in on Thursday night, Friday night. I mean, Paddy Power are one of the world's best wagering operators. They'll bring a lot of ideas and innovation to the channel. Bet365 has really good partnerships with country race clubs. They'll be carrying Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So I think in combination, we're going to have a much more interesting channel. Also, what it helped us do was we grew our revenue position on the channel. That helped us acquire South Australia's rights. So I think that's been very beneficial to the free-to-air strategy and the streaming strategy, and also to growing wagering for Victoria.
Andrew Catterall's in the studio, racing.com boss. We're going to take a quick break. On the other side, we're going to ask Andrew about what the channel's going to look like in the future moving forward and what we can hope to see during the upcoming Spring Carnival. Welcome back to Racing Pulse. Andrew Catterall, the CEO of racing.com, is in the studio. Andrew, we've been talking about South Australia coming on board. We've got an SMS from a listener here that wants to ask the question that with South Australia coming on board, they are frustrated on a Saturday by the coverage of the secondary meeting, the country meeting. They want to see more of that country meeting and the coverage, and they're worried that will that get squeezed any further on a Saturday?
That's interesting because, you know, through the week with country racing, you know, we must have 40 to 50 hours of live broadcast from country racetracks, so it's a significant level of coverage. And the other thing that happens is the wagering performance of the country meets has been the strongest performer. It's actually been a very strong uplift in night racing and country racing. So I think on a Saturday at the moment, we cross to the race caller who gives a preview and a post outcome. I think actually with the new run sheet we'll introduce around South Australia, and if we can introduce a hosting studio, which will have form analysts embedded in the studio, I think we'll end up with a more informative broadcast for the second meet, for the country meet on Saturdays, as well as a better job for the Metro meet and the South Australian meet.
It's going to be a juggling act, isn't it? And that's the issue that Thoroughbred Central has at the moment, and there's a lot of consternation from viewers that you leave a feature race to get to another race that may be of lower standard, and you don't get the post-race euphoria, you don't get the pre-race. And I know when racing.com first came in, it was going to be the Victorian standard bearer of boutique racing, so to speak, as in only a few meetings. Are we moving away from that for the future, do you think, that you're going to just try and get more content, more races, and less focus on sole meetings?
Look, I think always the intent was, and the intent remains, and the spirit of this business is that Victorian Thoroughbred Racing gets the premium promotion. But, you know, I think we should have always accepted from the start that to maximise your audience potential, you need to have other states racing on your channel. And that makes it more relevant for more people. And in the end, with Victoria with outstanding product, benefits from that because it attracts more wagering performance to Victorian racing. So, look, going forward, obviously we want to run the best, fullest channel we can during race day with the appropriate level of coverage. So we'd like, you know, a lot of racing happens between 11 and 6 every day, right? So trying to make sure we've got the optimal calendar within daytime racing. We've got a good night racing footprint with Thursday and Friday nights in Victoria, and hopefully we can add to that. We've got Hong Kong on Wednesdays and Sunday nights. So, yeah, there's a gap on Monday nights, Tuesday nights, and Saturday nights, really, and in the dead of winter for a small number for Thursday, Friday nights. So we've got to think about an effective way to fill the gaps with more magazine programs, more informative punting shows, et cetera, et cetera.
Is that the plan, to have some more magazine shows and more racing show content as well? Are we far away from seeing more of those?
Yeah, hopefully over time. I mean, obviously our focus is to make sure we do a good job in South Australia. It starts August 2, and then we've got to get into the Spring Carnival, which is essentially our grand final period. But we hope that over time, if we can establish our studio and continue to improve our business, that we'll be able to get better programming into those slots.
How far away is the studio?
Oh, to be determined. But hopefully for August, September.
Okay, so this coming... it'll be up and running for this Spring Carnival then?
Yes, we hope so. Yes. And we still have a lot of on-course hosting for Spring Carnival, but the studio to support that.
So that will be the main hosting during the week, and then Wednesdays, Saturdays out on course. Is that what the mix will be?
Pretty good model, yeah.
Okay. Your vision, how do you see the channel in 12 months' time?
Well, 12 months is going to go pretty quick. Obviously, a really good Victorian, South Australian, Hong Kong profile. Hopefully, more free-to-air days. Hopefully, a really strong international calendar overnight. If we can get the Foxtrail retransmission blockage issues removed by Sky Channel, we could have a really nice, solid calendar. And over in the longer term, Michael, you know, I just go back to the point. I mean, I do believe, you know, there really should only be one Thoroughbred premium channel. Hopefully, everyone agrees it should be the free-to-air one.
There's another idea from a listener. They'd like a breeding show. So all of these things...
Agree. I think that's a really good point. I mean, we are 18 to 24 months in. Now our ability to sit down with the jockeys and do something really good with the jockeys, something really good with the trainers, something really good with the breeders, other parts of the industry, that the time for that sort of stuff is now, yes.
Because a lot of the content which we need is to be focused to increase turnover, but...
engagement as well.
Also need to tell the stories.
Absolutely, and... you know, I think the best stuff for ownership is the shots of the winning owners, and the trainers do a great job, I think, pre and post race. I think that's a really good advertisement for the trainers. and breeding as well. I mean, the sales are actually quite popular, and the discussion around the breeding and the sales. So yeah, we've got a lot of work to do. Also, we're multi-platform, right? So the digital content and the social media content supports the channel. So we've got a lot of work to do to strengthen the storytelling of the industry.
You come from the AFL. The media in AFL is just huge. It's exploded. What can racing do, and how can racing broadcast its sport in a different way that can engage new people? Because, I mean, how many different ways can you cover racing? We see there's a lot of talk that, well, racing.com pretty much looks like what the old TVN did with different hosts, but how can we make it different, and what can we do in the future that will give it an engagement, or I suppose will attract people to racing?
Yeah, you know, a lot of people realise there's about 20 cameras at Flemington on a Saturday. There's a lot of cameras for stewards. So I think trying to find a really efficient outside broadcast model, you've got a lot of area to cover. There's a lot of cabling. It's a big area. It's not like a stadium. So looking at innovation in cameras, the guys have done a lot of good work on drones. Mm. They actually look really good. We just got to get the right timing to implement that. I think there's still a lot of work to be done on graphics. I think statistics and graphics and bringing them into the broadcast more effectively is a big opportunity for us. I like what's happened there with, you know, Seven and Fox Footy. You know, I think if you look at the innovation, how the America's Cup's broadcast at the moment, there's a lot of amazing graphics overlaid onto the imagery. They require technology and other things like connectivity, and we've been restricted in those issues to date. Hopefully over time, for example, as the NBN or as bigger, fatter data pipes come into play, we can actually produce multiple feeds of imagery. But currently they're constrained not by imagination, only by technology.
Last question, because we're running out of time, but the partnership with Channel 7 doing the free-to-air, which you do free-to-air, but they do the premium product coverage as well. Is that likely to continue, that you will have 7's coverage of the carnival, spring and autumn, and racing.com, the more racing, I suppose, intrinsic coverage as well, running side by side?
Yeah, that's a model that's up for review from next year onwards, but very confident that we'd continue the 7.1, 7.2 coverage and find a way to make it more complementary with racing.com, but that's up for review. Yep.
What's your biggest challenge moving forward, do you think?
It's racing.
Finishing
history,
this
mate.
Interview.
Yeah, getting out of here, yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate your time, Andrew. It is an interesting period for the coverage of racing in this state, and there's a lot of SMSs coming through that they want more shows to engage with people, and I think that's the direction that you want to head in the future.
I appreciate that. Thank you for your time.
Thanks, Andrew Catterall, the CEO of racing.com. We're a little late for the news. Apologies, Johnny Bowden. On the other side of that, can't wait to have Rick Jamieson in the studio.